Call a meeting to order. Any public comment?
Dan, you hear us all right?
Yep.
And we need approval of the minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes with the one change being that the meeting adjourned at 9:15, not 8:15.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thanks. Okay. The bills going around?
No, I didn't bring them. I'm sorry. I did not bring
them. Okay.
With the fire we had, I was a little preoccupied.
Yeah. Let's see. Correspondence? I got them from town or anything. And we get communication from the chief.
All right. Good evening. Couple things to go over since December, the first part of December, our last meeting, we've had 108 calls. We wound up for the year 587 was the real number. It's about 565 calls that we had. Kind of equal to what we did last year. In the last 2 months, month and a half, we had England's Plaza, 665 Boston Turnpike, had an odor in there. Deputy went down, spent a while going through. I think ultimately came out the couple drains, water sink drains were dry, emitting gas from there. We had a vehicle fire Route 6 in Stony Road. We had went to Hebron, Paper Mill Road for a structure fire. I ran water supply with that. Tanker 234 was out there. We had a dumpster fire at the new gas station down on Hop River Road. Billy, what's that going to be? What kind of gas? Cumberland? Not Cumberland.
No. Galt? No.
Sicko?
Sicko.
Sicko going to have a dunk with a Dunkin' Donuts?
Well, they're talking about it. It hasn't been confirmed yet, but okay. That's the plan.
Went, had a dumpster fire there that was interesting, right in front of the building. We had a structure fire in Columbia. Tanker went out for that. 53 Loomis Road. You probably hear most from the fire marshal a lot of these. 53 Loomis Road. Had an electrical fire in a garage, called it in as a structure until the men got there and got it figured out. Jones Hollow Road in Marlboro, we had a structure fire. Truck 134 went to that with a full contingent of firefighters. The other night, 35 London Road in Hebron, structure fire. I was first on the scene for that. Set up with the chiefs what they had. They took water supply in the street and came home quickly, which was nice. And then we had a structure fire. It's been publicized a little bit, 25 West Street. It was Dean Cabinetry, working structure fire. I'll talk about a little bit more. Other calls we had, outside fire, non-permitted burn on Notch Road. Fire Marshal probably talked about that one. State police were involved with that. St. Morris Church, early in the morning, the priest called me at 7 o'clock and said I got an odor in the building. Fire department responded. We went back after mass, so we didn't disrupt too many things. We found, I brought an electrician in and found out what the problem was with a heater motor, fan motor. We had unfortunate two CPRs in the last month. Shoddy Mill Road, a woman that we know, we've been a few times, and Anthony Road, a member of the Women's Auxiliary, a valued member of the department. Number two EMT in the fire department back in the early 70s. Then another motor vehicle accident with hazmat down on 384. Turned out to be a second hazmat incident, probably about a half a mile away at the commuter parking lot. We cleared all those and went back for a three vehicle accident at the place where the first call was. Interesting way they're all put together. So a little bit on West Street. I won't spend a lot of time on it. I'm going to have a critique after action review on Thursday night here with all the partners that came to the fire. Call came in about 7:15 on Friday morning. Matt came by the structure first, heavy smoke. I signed on air. I'd come up by Parkside Pizza. In the amount of smoke and air, I called the second alarm before it was even on the scene. Matt went down, picked up the ET-134, came in and laid a line down to the new water hole. Truck 134 got put to work. Manchester Fire was on the scene working. Ultimately, we had 14 fire departments and multiple other agencies on the scene. Working fire. Three occupants were in it. They all got out. Thank goodness, no injuries. And it all went pretty well. We'll see Thursday night. But I talked to every chief on Saturday that was on the scene, working with Matt. Matt was operations. He did a heck of a job for taking that kind of operation. Not many, Chris, you can attest to this, but really not many can take that kind of call and have it really your first call.
Yeah.
Not a room of contents or a shed fire or a dumpster. This was industrial, 18,000 square feet. That was. So interesting call. ET 134 went out for service a little over a month ago. Transmission was supposed to be a warranty, or it was supposed to be a recall. Turned out it wasn't a recall. It turned out there were some defects in the transmission as far as the manufacturing and assembly process. They put new parts in. They've redone the whole transmission and gave it back to us. No warrant, under warranty. No cost to us. We were without a truck for a month. We're running it hard like the fire the other night, the other day, and we'll test it and see what happens. Deputy and I have been a little busy along with John Morianis and a few others. We attended a selectman budget hearing to present the fire department budget. I think that went over very well. We were also called in by the finance department for a special meeting. Chip White, president of the corporation, Matt, myself, and that was it, three of us, got called in and asked a few questions by the finance, board of finance. I think we answered the questions. I responded back with a tape, which they didn't want to hear because they knew what it really said. And we'll see how that works out in the future. They're concerned about our proficiency funds, as they've said in the past. And the finance department also called us in for a capital improvement budget meeting. Why? Matt and I are still shaking our heads a little bit. Back at the end of December, I got a phone call from Jim Rupert, town administrator, and he said, we have some leftover monies because we went to bid for knocking the municipal center down. It came in cheaper. We got to spend some money. I need a boat in 2 days for a new UTV. They're buying a new generator for the center school, for the town hall, a couple other projects. So I got to work, made some phone calls quick, got a quotation, had it on his desk Friday morning. And he wanted it Monday morning. I had a Friday morning for him. And Matt and I met with him Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Monday morning.
Monday morning, was it? Okay. That's right, because you wanted it by 7 in the morning. We were in his office at 8, quarter of 8, and had a conversation with it. And the Board of Selectmen bought us a Polaris Ranger, four-wheel drive, four-door, with a pump and stretcher carrier on the back. So very pleased with that. Very pleased with that. So what this next capital request meeting was, I don't know. We'll hurry up and wait and see what happens. So. Any questions?
What's on your capital?
Pardon me?
What's on your capital?
So now what's left on a capital, maybe I didn't tell you that either. We partnered up with the town of Thailand and town of Somers. Okay. We put in a FEMA grant, and I wasn't happy to hear that President Trump wants to cancel FEMA now. Don't cancel until we get our money, please. Okay. And I understand what he's saying. FEMA down in North Carolina failed them. You know, there's still in the dark down there. But we put in for a FEMA grant, hope to hear sometime in the summer. We put in for portable radios on the trucks and for the officers. In our capital grant, our capital improvement project, as you're asking, John, we've had in there a radio replacement program, and it was $197,000. The portable radios themselves are $165,000. With purchasing other radios, we've got money. The nice part the selectmen did is I asked for that money for all the radios. They divided it up over a couple of years. There's $50,000 that they allotted already So we're going to take that $50,000 and spend it on mobile radios right now to upgrade the mobiles in the trucks that are the old radios. And there's plenty of money to do that. We're working with J&S on a state radio contract on that. There's also in capital the electric jaws of life hydraulic tools and heavier duty rescue struts for picking up trucks. We can pick up a car, but we can't pick up a truck. So I gave the capital improvement board some options for doing that instead of waiting for 1 year to buy them all. Buy a couple every year, and it will work out fine for us. So we'll see for that. I also asked them to put $30,000 a year away every year to go to apparatus funding. So in 15 years from now, $30,000 times 15, you'll have that much money in a pot, like they did for water supply, which worked out very well. So am I missing something on the capital?
I don't think so.
I think that's it.
It's still on there for building expansion, which just to keep it on their radar. And we brought up again paid personnel just to keep on their radar. But they're waiting for the strategic plan, so that's not officially in capital, but it was mentioned to them.
Keep it in front of them so they don't say you never told us. So
strategic plan? Which plan was that?
So strategic plan is what the selectmen want to do. They want to go out and get that to find out what's the best for the fire department and the town of Bolton going forward from now, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years.
Paid, not paid.
Yeah. Vehicles, facilities, living quarters, whatever. Right. What are we going to need in 20 years? So Jim is actually, town administrator has actually started to put together a bid package for that. And that will go through. When he's done doing that, he'll call myself in. I'll sit and go over it. I'll sit with some of the folks and we'll send it back and go out to bid. And we'll hurry up and wait and see where it goes from there.
Good. I mean, we talked about that in the last month's minutes and I noticed that, right?
Last year and a half, 2 years we talked about it.
But at least it's so he's putting some together, so it sounds like we're getting closer.
Yep. I think it is.
And then budget wise, it's not in our budget because that would be cheap.
There's $35,000 put aside for that, for going out to bid and paying for a study. So
I would hope that would cover.
Yeah. Nathan, Danny, any questions?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Hey, fire marshal.
Okay, so it's been almost 2 months since the last meeting. It was at the 7th, right?
Yes.
Got a bunch of stuff going on. So I went to the Capital Region Fire Marshal's meeting in Cromwell. I just thought I'd mention, I don't know if the rest of you folks know this, but Lori Volkert, she was a deputy fire marshal here. She became the fire marshal in Windsor. Then she just was appointed the new fire marshal for the state of Connecticut. So congratulations to her. She came a long way. And she's related. Everybody's related around here.
Her niece.
I just hope that because she's another by the book, what's in best interest, as far as the code and the fire service and all these things. She's very smart. And I just hope the politics don't eat her up too bad. So wish her well in her position. Three burn permits.
Left eye. There he goes. Also good.
Bug.
I want to make sure you just look good on camera.
There's a bug.
There's a big one.
Okay. Three burning permits. The mutual aid agreement that we've been talking about for the past couple of months is now in full blown effect. I got sworn in as a deputy fire marshal in Andover and Columbia. And Mike and his deputy got sworn in here.
Mike Lester of Columbia.
Right. Mike Lester. And this other kid, I forgot his name. He's a Hamden fireman. He got a lot of experience, I guess. He was at the fire. But first time I met him. So he got sworn in as deputy fire marshal in Bolton. So so if I'm not around, Jim Quish gets the call. If Jim's not around, then I go to Mike Lester and then also the other deputy. So we've got some backup now in case something happens. And they won't be left hanging with no marshals. That will have the ability to actually make phone calls to the state, call in resources, and do all the things a fire marshal can because they're actually a deputy fire marshal of that town. Mm-hmm. So this is a big thing. That more than a handshake, that, you know, old school stuff. Can't do that no more. Anyway, number four, we had another winner, another county winner. The poster winner at the Bone Center School, fifth grader. I can't remember her name right now, but she won the part of the county voting. Let's see. She won.
Give me a second.
Columbia, I think, won.
Ellington.
Yeah.
You know, Aubrey, Aaron's niece, mm-hmm. came in number one.
Wow.
So we went, Bernice and I went to the Ellington presentation for the fire marshals and the selectmen. They gave her a presentation. I brought Lori with us. So Lori got up and said a little speech.
So, but she was fourth grade, right?
Fifth grade. Right. She should be in a cap.
Yeah, but that was, you said the girl in Ellington, that was, they do a local thing in town. I got mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
Because it didn't make any sense.
Yeah, but then she went to the state, she became runner-up or something. Yeah, she's runner-up in the state.
Okay. Well, anyway, we have a winner. Fifth grade.
Yeah.
So now that poster is going to go into the state, you know, the state and they're going to judge, you know, going to be judging all those. And but I think this is great. So it's past 4 years, is twice, past 4 years. So
you've been fire marshal how long?
Five and a half.
So it's all because of you.
Nice job. I hate to say
good job.
You're right. There's a lunch budget. Anyway, so that's good news. Went to an all-day seminar. Connecticut Fire Marshal Association all-day seminar, install a senior, not one senior Knox box. So now all the senior Knox boxes that the senior center has or had that the fire department here contributed to, they're all mm-hmm. out. I think it's 25 total. Mm-hmm. They're all out. So it's all a good thing. And they have been turning over a lot. That's a good thing.
Yes, it is.
That's a good thing. So Carrie mentioned they're going to try for another grant. And if not, maybe work with the town and try to come up with some more funds and buy some more. It's such a popular program. I don't know how many EMTs went to a...
We've used a few.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. As the chief mentioned, there was a budget presentation with the Board of Selectmen at Town Hall, which my first one there, and this went pretty smoothly, I believe. Didn't get a yes or a no, but... callbacks, the fuel spill the chief talked about, got called back to that. The dumpster fire at Hop River Road, got called back to that. Needed a pretty comprehensive fire report because even though the occupants, no idea what happened, and there was very little debris at the bottom of the dumpster, but you could tell there was a substantial high heat fire, like empty boxes would create. And they still have a bunch of empty boxes in the building, but they don't know what happened. Oh, yeah. Lightning, maybe a
brand new dumpster.
Brand new
melted
dumpster.
All the paint on the dumpster.
And that's what I took pictures of, because it was a brand new dumpster and all the paint was burned off. So I don't know how this works. I don't know if we're going to be responsible to fix it or what. But, so it's on file just in case we get a call from an insurance company. Loomis Road, part of the callback that Chief talked about. The illegal burn on Notch Road. I didn't come out that night. It sounded like the troops had things well in hand. Furthermore, the guy was very indignant, which necessitated calling for a little state police backup. And it's not really a good time to talk business with people when they're all pissed off and just all these things. So I went back the next day, which was a Saturday, and I had a copy of our recreational fire policy for the town of Bolton, a bunch of stuff from DEEP, by my business card, and the guy was like really apologetic, and he said he really turned the crap in a hurry, and we, you know, really sorry for the guys just doing their job. And I couldn't believe it. It was totally what I did not expect. I expected a lot more hostility. Unfortunately, Brian was in his cruiser out here just in case, but it anyway. So he's got the information.
It was the wrong guy. Yeah, okay.
I but it's so confusing. It just whatever. They got the message.
Yes.
There was an egress complaint after the last snowstorm. There was an egress complaint at 890 Boston Turnpike. Unfounded, didn't find anything. All the egress areas were kept clean of snow and all these other things. And of course, the structure fire at Dean Cabinets, our fire department callback. I just want to touch on a couple quick things that, you know, when I first started, you guys said that, you know, there's like a lack of paperwork and, you know, you really need to do paperwork. And most people get sick of doing paperwork and all this other stuff, even though we got computer programs and everything else. And there's a couple of questions I got. I had a lot of time to sit back and watch the festivities because the guys are still actively engaged in fire suppression. But give me a chance to talk to people and talk to the owners, but, you know, trying to figure out exactly what happened and why and what for us. And some issues came up, but now I'm starting to think, is there something I screwed up on? You know, code enforcement is supposed to protect structures from stuff like that. Supposedly. So I was concerned. I called town hall. I talked to Danielle. Within 30 seconds, she pulled all the inspection reports I had there when he opened up in March of 21. And exactly what I was looking for was done. There was, at that time, a working fire alarm system in the building, but they chose not to continue the subscription. He just said, but they had one. So as far as I'm concerned, I was covered. Can't fall back on me, but for us, basically. So that's the reason for having, you know, good paperwork. And like I said, she called it up on a computer and boom, there it was. So I don't think it's going to hurt them in the long run. You know, accidents happen and, you know, accidental issues are, they're accidents. It's not, they usually pay off. So all the boarding up was immediately taken care of. And did you say you just covered the whole roof today?
I saw like the state police. They were there pretty quickly with their van.
They were.
They called them.
People.
Billy called them.
Right. Like, what's their timing? Do they have preliminary reports or do they? They're going to need to do, I know they do their thorough job.
Yeah, they were very thorough. And
thorough that I met with an investigator today, a contractor who goes between the insurance companies and the owner. Tomorrow, I've been invited at 10:30. The cause and origin fire insurance investigators will be there. And he says, why is this area so clean? I says, just check with the state police fire marshal.
Why didn't I get a call about that? I feel a little insulted.
Jim called me to tell me the guy came to the town hall to say we left a fan over there. So I met him over there. He says, this is not our fan.
10 o'clock tomorrow. I'd like to go.
Yeah, 10 to 30 tomorrow.
Yeah. Anyway, so getting back to this. So things happen. It just, you know, nobody was hurt. You know, but there was just a comedy of errors. But I saw the truck, a white pickup truck. Anyway, what's interesting, just so I let you guys know, so it's usually not one little issue that why fires start or fires that magnitude happen.
Right.
So, you know, it's just a lot of little issues that people don't think about. You know, when there's an emergency, you know, when somebody in your house goes into cardiac arrest and your mind, you know, you start to race around and you forget things and don't do things as you should and forget to call 911 and all these other little issues that should be instinctive. But there was a smoke condition there when the kid got there at 6:30. And the call came in. So the fire department got toned down at 7:16. And they were there for quite a while, the son and the old man. And then I got pictures of, there was actually there was a smoke condition in the building. They smelled smoke when they got there, but really didn't, just kind of dismiss it as maybe heaters or whatever. Then the smoke condition wasn't getting any better. So they started to, pass that around. They started to walk around and then they finally discovered the fire in this paint room. Just everything they said is exactly what happened.
Behind sheetrock walls with double doors.
Yeah.
So they didn't see it.
Right. Then they finally did find a fire and they made an attempt to fight the fire. But you got to remember, it's just the same reason that extinguishers are not required in apartment buildings. We don't want people fighting fires anymore. They don't call 911. Personally, I think the fire may have been going at 4 o'clock in the morning. I believe it was. And it finally just basically broke out. But, you know, we don't know. But again, there was like a half hour where the fire department could have been on the road. Maybe it would have done something. I don't know. It's hard to say, you know, but just a couple of things. Like I said, it was nothing. They're actually pretty upset because it was, you could tell the places, you could look at the photo, how neat and clean that place is. They had, you know, basketball in there and benches, everything set up. So it just, it's a shame. It was, you know, it's basically a total loss. So is there any questions on it or? Oh, back to, I'm sorry, back to State Fire Marshal. So when I got to 3J's and I saw the header, that's when I called the State Fire Marshal's office. I wasn't even on the scene. I just, you know, I told Jim Rupert and other folks, I told the chief, if it's a high dollar loss or a fatality, I'm calling them, you know, and it's just, they've got the resources we don't have. They can get to a lab and get a report in days. We send something to a lab, it could take years. They've got this camera that, if this was a fire room, they set the camera up in the middle and it just starts taking photos, sequential photos of the whole room, like giving you a photo log, and you know, you can track the fire spread with a stupid camera. Just, they got stuff that just nobody has. It's just, you know, and in fact, they do it all the time. You know, they do it all the time. And there was four of them there.
There's four guys?
Yeah, there's four there. And, you know, first couple got there, then they called the other ones. But talking to these guys, they were taking a beating.
Yeah.
They were in Old Saybrook. Bradford was a fatal. Some other big
Avon
fire.
Avon was a fatal.
Avon was a fatal. And, you know, again, other.
East Hampton at 11 o'clock the night before.
East Hampton, the night before, yeah. So the guys only had, some of these guys only had a couple hours sleep. And, of course, you know, you're working with these guys, and just like everything else, you know, every workplace, people bitch and moan about, and it's not what you, you know, from the outside, you look inside at the state police. They have bitching and moaning about, they complain about overtime, the bosses are, and this and that, and, you know, that they can't get enough troopers for the road, never mind more resources for this group, you know, because besides being a trooper, they've got to be a fire marshal. It's, you know, hopefully down the road that this, you know, with whatever's going on around here, that they don't cut this program, and these guys are fantastic. And like I said, local resources just cannot come anywhere near what they can provide. You saw that truck they showed, that has everything in there. You know, they went in to make a statement. I started getting a statement. I'm writing on a, you know, little plastic thing here. They call them in there on the computer, and, you know, in a warm environment, you know, with a father and a son. And, you know, that's how they got their statements. And it just, like I said, they got everything.
We have four detectives and a canine. Yeah. They didn't use the canine for this one.
Yeah.
He was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plus DEEP showed up. You know, they show up and gave their 2 cents. So there was people came from all around. It was a pretty big event. I was pretty impressed. But, you know, you're right. I don't care what people think. It's, you know, it's what those guys can provide is just phenomenal. So hopefully there's another Capital Region meeting next month, and some of the guys go to those meetings. And I'm going to just ask, you know, for all the fire marshals in the Capital Region and the state to keep an eye on this, and, you know, hopefully they don't become underfunded or they decide to cut services even more, because these guys are on the road. It's a, we don't lose it. It's for every town benefits.
There's seven detectives in the fire explosive investigation unit for the entire state of Connecticut.
Yeah. There used to be, what, I think it was 12 or 15. There's,
yeah,
you know, plus two or three pooches.
There's three or four assigned to the east and three or four assigned to the west.
Yeah.
So we had everybody from the east at our fire.
So, yeah, when there was everything's all said and done, they gave me all the information and, you know, for me to put a report together, and which that's what surprises me, that all my other experiences with this, they usually call a local fire marshal and get their report first. Then they look at that, then they use their own thing, and, you know.
Yeah, you're going to be in touch. He said they're going to be in touch with you. He says, come on over tomorrow if you want to see it. See what's going on.
Well, 10 o'clock?
Yeah, 10:30.
Yeah.
Yep. Nice guy.
They work with the insurance company.
Right.
Anyway, so getting to inspections. Cropley's Garden Center, new owners. They're going to do a couple of different things with the business. They're going to do more inside stuff and, you know, like putting, I don't know what you call it, putting flowers together and floral arrangements, and they wanted the inside set up more for larger groups of people. So they had to add exit signage and some other things, new extinguishers and So that's their plan for, you know, the new owners. They're younger, and they're still keeping the old man's name in a building. So Parkside Pizza did an inspection there, did a re-inspection. They passed. Dollar General. So I've been going to Dollar General because of the holidays. You know, we talk about the clutter and stuff like this. So it's been 3-4 years since they opened up, and I was there when they got their CO and saw all the emergency lights working. So I go there, and I said to the girl, I said, well, the best way to do this is shut the power off. You know, shut the power off, then the emergency lights are going to come on. And not shut off the main breaker. We don't want to do that because there's coolers and all this other stuff. You don't want to get into that pickle. Then she goes, well, just get up on a stepladder. I'm not getting up on those stepladders because those ceilings are like 15 feet, 18 feet high. I'm not going to get up there and freaking, you know, go over that.
There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them, yeah. So I meet her at 8 o'clock in the morning. I think you saw the pictures, didn't you?
The electrical panel?
So I get there, and so I'm looking at the panel. I go, great, all we have to do is just shut the lights down, and the emergency lights are going to come on. And lo and behold, I'd never seen this before. I ended up showing it to Rodney, being an electrician. If you look at the picture, the breakers on the right are, no, yeah, on the left of the picture, they got this little lock on all the breakers. So the employees can't go back there and shut the lights off using the breakers. Like the fire alarm system and a couple of other things, they don't want the employees monkeying with, because there is no electrician or local electrician for that store. They come from all over. So we couldn't do it. I'd never seen it before. Even Rich, the building official, has never seen that. So this is the latest, you know, keeping more control over the employees and don't go turning stuff on and off, screwing up things. So I'm trying to get an electrician out here, because I said, you got to get an electrician out here and do this, because I don't want to throw the main breaker. Absolutely not. So if there's a fire there, throw a main breaker. Right? But anyway. So let's see. So I have to get back to it. We did the final for, finally, 890 Boston Turnpike for the fire escape. It came out pretty good, actually. A couple little minor things here and there. The window behind it has to be sealed up directly behind that fire escape, but that's done. A1 Food Store for a 3-year, Country Liquors for a 3-year. Based on Jim Rupert seeing this gigantic pile of tree, that's what I'm looking for.
Wood chips.
Monster pile of wood chips over at 1207 Boston Turnpike. And I didn't realize there's two businesses in there that contribute to this pile. I said, well, you got to tell me these things. I didn't know that. So I,
the old Julio farm.
Yeah. Oh, which okay. is for sale, by the way.
Yeah. Anyway. Lindale style stand.
Yeah.
Wood chips are free.
So anyway, I had to get into the code and look up wood chip storage, and it gave dimensions and its proximity to a structure and all this stuff. So I had all that. The only thing they really did or didn't do was they put giant logs inside the chips, which is not a good idea. Because if chips catch fire, and they can self-combust, depending if the conditions are right. Surprising, nothing happened this past fall. And just get the wood out of there, basically, and do some of those chips, whatever. But there's two businesses, two tree services in there. Shamrock Tree Service, American Tree Service. So met with them. One guy was really not happy to see me at all, even with my sparkling personality. Notch Road Extension Apartments, their yearly's been done. Got in there and everything up to snuff, 100%. Precision Land and Drain did 3-year there. I have to go back. All Town had a couple of questions and some issues with a remounting or moving around a fire extinguisher. You had to go down there and park it out with them. So that's it. Probably got some going on.
My only question, and this has come up several times, is fallbacks. I understand the overtime, the contract which you have for X number of hours when you get called back, something like that. Any conversation with the powers would be to, if he gets fire, we're going to call you. If it's a minor brush fire or something like that, we call you on the phone. We'll send you pictures, things like that. But there's other certain things we need you out there. I know it's been a problem in the past. Well, can we call it you're out of town? Can Mike Lester or one of the other guys come in, or is it going to be under that hold off? Because
that wouldn't bode well with that. But Mike had made it quite clear. He doesn't want to, you know, come out here like every other day for callbacks.
Hmm.
You know, he wants to be there, you know, on standby. You know, people are on vacation during the summer, whatever. That's why I asked for a very modest increase in the fire marshal budget. Okay, because Friday I spent nine hours there. I was there 9 hours. I didn't leave.
Mm-hmm.
I had to pee behind the dumpsters. It was so bad.
Hmm.
So, yes. Anyway, so
we told you where to go.
Yeah. Anyway, so it happens. You know, it just give me a call. You know, I'll talk you through it. You know, he called me about a furnace issue.
Mm-hmm.
You did everything right. You don't need me. You don't need the billing official. You did everything right. Have a good night.
Just want to make sure all the bases are covered. So.
Yeah, it's especially when it comes to single family dwellings. You know, the level of, you know, of course, when you get called there, if there's issues, you know, no smoke detectors, that's worth a follow up. And a couple other things, but it's very rare that we have actually any jurisdiction over single family dwellings. But just call, you know, a very small car fire, you know.
Like that one on the highway, Route 6.
Yeah.
He took pictures and sent them to you.
Yeah.
Nothing you see in the dark.
Yeah. It just, you know, because it depends. I mean, it'll eat up the budget. And then what Jim warned me about is you get towards the end of the budget season, if you run out of money, well, that's going to kill the whatever inspection you have to do.
Hmm.
Basically, he's saying they're not going to put money back into the budget for whatever. So I got to be very careful about that.
So for his benefit, a car fire, 2008 Chevy Impala gets on fire. What's the benefit of you coming out for the insurance companies?
What? I mean, by statute, fire marshals have to investigate all fires.
Yep.
So even a brush fire. But just call. It just, I mean, some things are just, not, you know, we'll try to work it out. If I think there's a need, you know, that propane leak, you know, Jim didn't think I should have gone to that.
Which propane? Oh, up in Laurelwood or Elizabeth or whatever?
Yeah.
I think you should have.
That was a whole neighborhood being infected by a
like Elizabeth?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was bad.
Yeah. Because it's the line between
500-gallon tank with a couple hundred in it at weekend.
Well, the landscaper sheared up the top of the tank. But Jim just thought that, you know, again, it's a single family dwelling and, you know, jurisdictional thing. But that's something that impacted the whole neighborhood. I had to go. So,
yeah.
You know, but yeah, or better yet, if you have a question, just call.
Yep. All right. Cool.
Not 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, that was tough. But
it wasn't 4.
It was maybe 3:30. Yeah, that's it.
You're up.
Okay, any old business? We have any new business?
Any comments, Danny?
Nope. Oh, good. The truck came back in time, huh?
Yes. Yeah. And it's interesting because the truck came back, made me sleep better, and Matt brought it to the scene, laid a line from Roger Barrett's new pond behind his buildings there, up to the street, parked in the street. Manchester got their ladder truck hung up. Somebody hopped in our truck and pulled their ladder truck off, and it sat there for the rest of the night. So we used everybody else's engines and ladders. So
now he's got that pie. That's how you cut the ice.
Yeah, he's got a dry hydrant under, dry hydrant pipe under. We send Andover and Marlboro, I believe, down in there. And they cut two more holes, so we had three trucks down there pumping.
They did have a dry hydrant.
Yep. Three lines, three pump.
Nice setup. So this isn't something, obviously, I did too much of, really.
You didn't do any of it, yeah?
Out of the river. We had to learn how to drive. We definitely had to learn how to drive.
Charter Oak Bridge.
So the truck is going to be down where his pond is, Roger's pond, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then will you take some LDH and it goes up to another truck? Or how do you get the water?
Yeah.
You got to actually drive it up?
No. Pump it.
Okay, so you'll pump it.
1,000 feet.
I reverse slayed from the pump and pond up to the gate. We parked.
Is that 400 feet maybe?
Yeah, about that.
But you can't draft from that, can you?
No,
you got to have that hard suction, right?
Hard suction, draft with a truck.
And then LDH up to wherever you're going.
Right. Then we went, historically, we went to another engine or a tanker. Like we first line went to our tanker in the street, and then it went out to Manchester's truck that was putting 2.5 on a fire. Mm. The second one came up to the command post, put it into our Marlboro truck, and Marlboro then piped across the parking lot to Manchester's ladder truck. And then the third one came out of Andover's, pumped it up the hill, and it went into Vernon's truck, Vernon's aerial scope, 100 footer.
Do you guys have a brine hydrant at Sperry's Glen?
No, no. That was, it's being addressed. Being addressed, yep.
So. Did you guys empty the pond out?
No, it dropped it about a foot.
Oh, wow.
A lot of water.
I've never seen it. So
big pine. Drive back there, big pine.
Did you do any other tanker shuttles anywhere else? Or just
so what I, just all... because of the way we had the LDH laid across the street, we I called for a third ladder to be on the D side of the building. Glastonbury's ladder was in route, 100 footer. Vernon self-dispatched their aerial scope, and they beat them to it. So the mission was, I was going to put them in that driveway, and because we couldn't get LDH in there, I had 6 or 7 tankers sitting right there. We were going to drop, feed the ladder, and go to the center school down here for our cistern, 30,000-gallon cistern. So I talked to the high school principal. I talked to the senior center director. And said, move your trucks. Guess what? Kids go out the back of the school now. We're going to have tankers coming down and running. Great communication. Ultimately, you're going to have to do it. Glastonbury chief said, I'll get another 3-inch light or large diameter from the pond for you.
Next question for you. When you use the cistern and you empty it, how do you refill it?
Go back to Manchester and hydrants and fill it up.
Oh, okay.
Take the shuttle just in reverse.
Yeah, that one's six, is that one 6?
Well, I wasn't sure if you went over that to Holt Lake or...
No, no.
Oh, we got 40 at the high
I didn't think you were going to pick. Oh, so
okay. We'll go to Garth Road in Manchester.
There's a dead end up in the back there. It's quiet.
Yeah.
You'll get a kick out of this. I had an interview. Manchester Engine 4 was first on the scene. I didn't realize that they can get two engines flying up here by the old Woodbridge Pizza near the firehouse.
Mm-hmm.
That's a street.
It's engine 3. It's engine 3.
Engine 3. Yeah. And then 4 is down by what, Highland Market?
Yep. Just past Highland Market.
They were here within 6 minutes. They
were on the scene first.
Yeah.
When I pulled, were they here when you pulled by?
No.
So Matt goes by, Manchester comes in, then I come in, Manchester's sitting there pulling a line already.
I saw Mariah.
They had to be getting, Mariah, yeah, she had to be getting Mariah food or something.
Pictures.
No, well, yep. They were.
That's what I was just going to tell you. Change. I didn't know whether you, so I got to interview them because they brought the first line in there. You know, what did you see? And they took a 2.5 in there and she said, they hit it and they hit it and it didn't darken down. Then the,
and they had water to do that because we had water to do it already. But he laid the line.
Insulation, all kinds of stuff was starting to come down on them. Then somebody kind of said, maybe we shouldn't be in here. But, you know, they hit it for a while. It just didn't knock it down.
It was quad fire photo. You can see the fires, but this is the inside.
At one point, we had 2 blitz fires and 2 blitz fires and 1 inch and a 2.5 going at once, and 1.75 in the AED corn. So we had quite a bit of water.
Rogers Pond.
Where was the fire actually?
Right here.
In a room on the floor?
It looks like it started in the area in the first floor in a paint area.
That's the inside.
I'm thinking it might have been going through a while. I really do.
I'm guessing this day and age, they don't use linseed oil or anything like that.
They still use it.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. I thought that was long gone.
You hit that right in the head. I don't have the paper with me.
Well, it came to my mind, and I'm like, they can't be using linseed oil anymore. I mean,
there's a product.
Basketball hoop.
I don't know if they do there, but
nothing. There's a customer that wanted their cabinets covered with this particular finish. I got a name.
9 times out of 10, they use
it all surrounded by
actually sheetrock. 9.5 out of 10. These
water based, right? They're always water based.
When I had water, I was amazed. I was a little sketchy when we had our floors redone and we went with the company that did the Gamble Pavilion. So I'm like, well, if it's good enough, their basketball floor, it's still good. I mean, I was amazed. Water based can be so durable.
So they had one company, one customer that wanted this particular product.
That was the last thing that they were working on during the week, and The product has linseed oil in it. So
you slide back and forth.
Oh yeah, we had one up on the mountain years ago. They sanded the floors, and they left the bags there.
Yep.
And now the bags started smoldering. They didn't put them in their truck. They left them there because they were coming back the next day, and the bags caught on fire overnight.
Yep. Yeah, I've seen it. Yep. Now I see why you're saying
Matt and I gotta go. We got another meeting.
Yep.
That building's going down.
Oh.
So this is the pond you speak of. That's right.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Favor.
I put that in about 5 months ago.
Yeah, 5-6 months ago. I went over thanks because I went over there. You know, they're out.